Joanne Greenway is in the studio with me tonight. April being the month not only of showers and flowers, but also National Poetry Month, we're happy to talk with her about the Greater Cincinnati Writers League, a poetry organization that has met continuously for over 80 years. Joanne herself has been a member of Greater Cincinnati Writers League since 2006 and is currently president. Her first chapbook, Limited Engagement, was published in 2016. Her next chapbook, True Confessions, is due out in August of this year, both published by Finishing Line Press. And I'm happy to welcome you to Around Cincinnati, Joanne.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about how the Greater Cincinnati Writers League began. What's some of the history of it, if you would, please?
Well, it was founded in 1930 when a group of writers and musicians gathered by invitation at the home of Mr. and Mrs. William Tapman. And the idea of the group was to exchange critiques of poetry, short stories, and articles. But now it is strictly a poetry group. So 89 years later, we're still meeting. And we started out with some very prominent members, including George Elliston, a woman, actually, for whom the George Elliston Reading Room at UC is named. And she bequeathed all of her wealth to UC. And the last time I visited the reading room, I heard a marvelous poet, Ted Kooser, read his poetry there. Oscar Treadwell was also a member of Greater Cincinnati Writers League, the late Oscar Treadwell.
And Oscar, many of us know for many wonderful reasons, but certainly his jazz program on WVXU.
Yes, he always closed with a poem. And music and poetry go together because poetry is really song, if you think about it. And I think that more and more people are reading and writing poetry. And Cincinnati has become a sort of nerve center of the country for poetry and poets. There are usually readings every week somewhere. They have them at libraries, Motor Pub in the Over the Rhine. In Northside, there's a bar, I think the organization is called Inc., that stages readings there. Coffee houses, wine shops, you're liable to find them anywhere.
If you would, tell us what happens in the monthly meetings, who the members are, what would we experience if we were a proverbial fly on the wall?
We open with introductions, of course, because occasionally we get new people in. There's 25 members right now. Usually meetings draw about 12 to 14 members, and we have a guest critic. I'll introduce the critic. The critic will read a couple of his or her poems. And then each poet who has submitted a poem to the critic will read their poem. And then the critic will give his or her feedback as to where that poem succeeds and where it doesn't quite succeed. The poet doesn't have to change his poem, but you use what you can from this feedback. And then the rest of the group chimes in also. And again, it's not all useful information. Sometimes it's just airtime, and sometimes we say the same things. But I have learned a lot from this group, and I have been able to publish a lot of my workshopped poems. So I think it's done me a great deal of good. We have a professional critic 10 months out of 12 months. In January, we have a business meeting. And then in December, we have a party. But the other 10 months, we're hosting a professional critic.
Do you want to say a little bit about reading your poem of the night, whoever the poet is, and how that takes another step beyond writing it? Can you describe the feeling or the sense or how it adds to the process for you?
I really believe that poetry is meant to be read aloud. I enjoy it most when it's read aloud. I pay more attention to it, I think. I've had a lot of experience reading my poems aloud, and it really becomes a performance. It comes to life.
And we're going to ask you to read a poem, bring it to life. So if you would read your poem titled Play On.
I am invisible. This superpower is a dubious perk of widowhood. Waiting for a table at a restaurant, the hostess will ask, "Are we dining alone today, dear?" "Why, yes, we are." Friends stop calling 3 weeks after the service. I fill my days shopping, volunteering, and sorting through the mail that still comes for him. Last chance. Renew your subscription to PC World now. I reply on a post-it note. Sorry. Both my husband and his PC crashed at about the same time. Some mornings, I awake and forget he's gone. Dream hangover. I bring him back, with a CD of Chick Corea on keyboards, vocals by Flora Purim. Some time ago, I had a dream. It was happy, it was laughing, it was free. Issues of PC World will continue for another 6 months. My grief will go on. When I start to wallow, I hear him urging me in the lingo of improv jazz. Get your licks in. No more comping. Learn to solo.
Thank you. This poem is, of course, about a major loss in your life,
yes,
the death of your husband. And I'm wondering what part poetry, writing in general, plays in terms of grieving, healing, moving through this time.
Yes, actually, I participated in a workshop led by a woman whose name, unfortunately, I have forgotten, but she was affiliated with Women Writing for a Change, and she led a workshop over a series of weeks, not a poetry workshop, but a workshop on using writing to process your grief, and it really did help. And I use poetry to get reacquainted with my family members and old childhood memories. It's really opened up a lot of good and maybe not so good memories for me, things that I haven't really worked through.
Well, I go back to your statement before that it brings poetry alive, not only to read it aloud, but I think revisiting
yes.
it, in this case, I would guess, brings up that closeness to
yes.
your husband, even though he's gone.
Yes.
I think that we often do think of poetry being about loss, about love, philosophical maybe, but it can also be cheeky.
Yes.
You have a cheeky poem to share with us, and it is called Therapy. Before you read, if you would, tell us the school of therapy that you reference in the poem.
The school of therapy is Rogerian, and I'm not an expert on it, but I know that it's the kind of methodology that allows the person in therapy to basically bear all, and the therapist is not going to judge or beat the patient over the head with their revelations. Well, no therapist should really be judgy with a patient, but Rogerians are particularly known for this.
All right, so would you read Therapy, please?
My therapist is Rogerian. I can say nothing to shock him. I am lolling in his big leather chair, telling him how I took a machete to some neighbor children who had the temerity to rouse me from my nap. They were brandishing big gold foil ingots of chocolate, a bargain at $3 apiece. My therapist squints over his glasses and asks me how it felt to shed the blood of innocence. I tell him it was exhausting and messy, as children so often are. Their remains are composting in the backyard right now, I tell him, destined to nurture my prized dahlias. But I had a devil of a time scrubbing the evidence of my heinous crime off the front porch steps. At least the chocolate was good.
Wonderful poem. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing your poetry. Thank you for your continued leadership of Greater Cincinnati Writers League.
You're most welcome. I really enjoyed this.
I've been talking with Joanne Greenway about the Greater Cincinnati Writers League, of which she is the current president, as well as her books of poetry titled Limited Engagement and True Confessions. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.